Blog Talk Radio.
Each and every day I will seek your face.
Thank you for tuning into YouSwap Radio. Stay tuned for a special message from Leivon Breland.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Campaigns initiatives including our Theological Institute, missions, and more. Our team of governance in finance and administration. Our team of Edmarket involving information technology and marketing operations. Help spread the gospel globally. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Hello, radio listeners. This is Selena Olivia, host of Spirit Straight Talk Radio and president of Urban Glory Campaigns. On behalf of Leivon Breland, the founder of Urban Glory Campaigns, I want to personally extend an invitation to join our team. Call our human resource office today at 641-715-3800, extension 2966445. The number again is 641-715-3800, extension 2966445.
Attention Maryland, D.C., and Virginia residents. The last two Wednesdays of every month, Urban Glory Campaign's biblical focus group, the Rhema Group, meets at 7 p.m. Dominion Academy with Selena Olivia for training and discussion in foundational truths. And Ambassador Academies with Urban Glory Campaign's ecclesiastical leader, Leivon Breland, with training for ministry leaders. Check us out online at www.myspace.com/RGRU. That's www.myspace.com/RGRU. Or call us at 641-715-3800, extension 91120. The Rhema Group, Revelation Unveiled.
Hello, YouSwap listeners. This is the president of Urban Glory Campaign, Selena Olivia, and host of Spirit Straight Talk Radio, standing in for Dr. Breland, host of YouSwap Radio. He is preparing for travel. He is traveling on a ecclesiastical journey this weekend and is preparing for travel. So I will be standing in just to give you a heads up of what is going on tonight. Tonight I will be playing a previous Rhema group, I believe, of last season during the series Divine Psychology. I'm going to be playing that segment, and we pray that you enjoy it, okay? Enjoy the message, and I will be back after the message with some announcements, and we'll close out. So hang in here with me, okay? God bless you. And here's the message.
Tonight I have rather a long title, but I think it is essential that we continue to build the building blocks of our journey on being found in our soul. And we're entering into a volume of teaching called The Divine Psychology of the Soul. In order to do that, we have to do some preliminary things. So tonight we're going to have 8 preliminary practices of attaining entrance in the wisdom of divine psychology of the soul. And the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 2 through 7, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtly to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation and the words of the wise, and the dark saying, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Attaining access to God's creative power through the will is attained in communion with Him. Now, the wisdom of God is only given to the seeker who is set on hearing His voice. Okay? And I have several instructions, but before I get into that, we're dealing with being sound in our soul. And before we get into the application part, well, how do we develop this soundness? What is this soundness? How does it come about? We have to enter into an atmosphere where we can hear first God's voice. And one of the things that I've learned in ministry over the years is that if the voice of God is not one of the highest things or highest sought after activities in your ministry will fail. Every successful ministry thrives off of God's voice. I didn't say the amount of people that they have. I didn't say the amount of money that they contain in a storehouse. Or I didn't say how many messages, but sustaining God's voice, because that is the objective for those who are called to the ministry, especially those in the administrative parts of the ministry. Our objective is to communicate so that the church of God would mature. And I think this particular teaching goes a little beyond sound in the soul, because I'm dealing with, in the month of April, for those who are listening to the USWAP program, the ministry of maturity. And we're going to deal with different segments of that. But now this is the ministry for the perfecting of the saints until all come into the unity of the faith, according to Ephesians 6, or Ephesians 5, rather, or maybe 4. I mean, it's Ephesians 5, one of them. Anyway, you know your Bible. It's Ephesians 5. So, but this is our calling to make sure that, one, we are sound so that way we can give sound doctrine. For those who are listening to the sound of my soul, I'm kind of in two lessons. I'm preparing us for the ministry of maturity, and I'm also preparing us for soundness of soul, which is really the same thing, sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. The power of God is so powerful. I've been studying on the Spirit of God and spiritual gifts and spiritual warfare and saints in combat and different ministry materials, and I've really been in a different place spiritually in the last few weeks, because I'm finding out that there are priorities that God has that we don't necessarily deem noteworthy sometimes, especially when you get into the glamorous part of ministry. And the younger the ministers I find today, the more glamorous they want to become. And the purpose of the minister has been elevated in this particular dispensation, because there's been a lot of work for us to come out in the manner that we should be coming out. But because we have not prepped our hearts and prepped our minds and develop our thinking on things above where Christ is seated, we're not in a position to really exemplify the mature church. And I was listening to my instructor in school, because I go to school. One of the things I recommend for all ministers is if they think you're called to be on the ministry, you need to be studying. You study to show yourself approved unto God, but you also study to show yourself as a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, the one who correctly handles the word of truth. As you begin to grow and go into the things of God's word, He begins to enlighten your eyes. But then through the enlightenment of your eyes and the power of that light, it then pierces through your heart. And then that heart develops the character that you need to attain access with God. And God is truly the creator of heaven and earth and the creator of all the living. So it requires skillful understanding. I'm understanding now, and I didn't before, always understand the necessity of preparation until I begin to study on what it means to be sound in the soul. And, you know, when you minister on a topic like this, the enemy, not the enemy, because you're really not in competition with the enemy, but you begin to recognize where you went off. And, you know, a lot of times it's like the enemy attack. No, it's really the state of your soul. And that's why I corrected myself. It's really you're finding out all along where you're really at. And I begin, as I'm getting deeper into this training, I'm seeing where I missed it. And then some things you work through while you're missing some things, but you keep going. And one of the things that I think is so essential for us to develop in when we talk about anything pertaining to the gospel of Jesus Christ is our priority. What are we emphasizing in ministry? What are we emphasizing in the development of humanity? Are we emphasizing superficial customs over character? And that's questions that we all have. But I wonder what we're doing to get it beyond a question. And I was challenged this weekend in all areas of, as you know, I did a report on going to New York at the time of this taping. But I was challenged to take God on to a different degree. And I received and I made discipline toward that. I'm more determined today than I've ever been to eradicate anything that would distort the purity of my vocation that I so strive as a preacher and as a minister of the gospel. You don't always get it right, but then what you know to do, when you do it, then God can get the glory. I got 8 things, and I want to get through some of it. I've already used some of my time. But these are essential things that the Lord showed me in order for you to gain access. And one of the first things He said was the renewal in the spirit. And, you know, a lot of times what people believe is that they can master certain points. And I understand, I did a scripture that it, not a scripture, I did a commentary one time on being mastered. That if the only way that you prevent from being mastered is to make sure that you're the master. But in making sure that you're the master at things, you want to always keep a sense of renewal in the progression of your walk. Because if you don't, you lack a quality in which God characterized as your own righteousness. And you develop, you lack the quality of His righteousness, and then you develop something negative, which God calls your own righteousness. And that is filthy, as filthy rags, as the scripture would suggest. So we have to maintain a constant renewal in the spirit. Now, how do we do that? First of all, we embrace the concept of the true meaning of the word to repent. Repent is not just an admission of guilt based on a shortcoming. Repent means to change the way you think. So in essence, after you change your thinking, your actions will correspond with your new pattern of thought. But a lot of times people just use admission as a state of repentance. And that is not a state of repentance, and then they fall back. And we're going to talk about that, but the first thing is to be renewed. And the scripture says, I therefore, in Ephesians 4:23, and we're going to read 17 through 24 to be in context, it says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. And what happens is this. Most people confuse, first of all, spiritual manifestations with soulless manifestations. And if you don't know the difference between the soul and the only way you're going to know is by going to the Word of God, because the Bible says the only thing that separates from, like the joint from the marrow, is that separates the soul from the spirit is the Word of God. So if that's not in motion, then you're going to always think things that are soullessly are spiritual manifestations, and they're really not. And your goosebumps and your sensual ideas and your ideologies about life are not spiritual or authentic spirituality. You're going to have to get in God's Word and find out what it means and then go there. And the way you do that is by being in a constant state of renewal. Now, the Bible says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's the scripture that we're reading now. It says, well, look, if your vanity in your own, in their mind having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because the blindness of their what? Their heart, who being past fearing, having given themselves over to lasciviousness and the work of all uncleanness through with greediness. God hates greedy people. But ye have not so learned Christ. You have not learned the pattern in which God has set up through Jesus Christ that way. If so, ye be have heard of him. So if you heard of Jesus, you didn't come. And have been taught by him. Excuse me. Have been taught by him. This is a challenge that I want to give to those who are called to the ministry. How much is Jesus teaching you? I found out some interesting things about Paul today in a study that you can scripturally prove that the Apostle Paul, and one of the reasons why he was the forerunner of writing the whole of the majority of the New Covenant is because he operated in every gift, in the nine gifts that God qualifies as the gift of the Spirit. The only way you can do that is by revelation, which is what? Personal information that God has distributed divinely by himself for you to know so that you can benefit somebody else through that anointing and that ability. That has been accomplished through and by Jesus Christ. He had a revelation of Jesus Christ, and it opened up all gifts to him without measure. And you can scripturally validify that he operated in the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and that knowledge is revelation knowledge. He operated in the interpretation of tongues, diverse tongues. He operated in the discerning of spirits. He operated in prophecy. He operated in interpretation. I think I gave you all the nine gifts just there. If not, I was off by two. But in either case, you can scripturally validify that he operated in the gifts. Why? Because he was renewed in his spirit. He had a renewal of the spirit. But let's continue reading in Ephesians 4:17-24. It says, see, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so, thank you. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on and true holiness. I always refer you back when you talk about righteousness to go back to Hebrews chapter 5. You know what it says, that those who are feeding and developing nourishment off of milk are unskillful in what? In the word of righteousness, in the training of righteousness. So a lot of reasons why there is a not renewal in your mind is because you haven't continued to develop in true repentance. You have not, you've been walking according to darkness, developing a reaction versus actions that are necessary to take, and it's causing a stifling in your spiritual development. But when you make a determination to develop the righteous thinking and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, you give the spirit access in your life. How do you give the spirit access? By developing time and in his presence. Then when you're in his presence, you allow him to have lordship over your mind. What is lordship over your mind? You allow this mind to be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Take those patterns of which Christ patterned himself doing only what he saw the Father do and saying only what the Father said. And once he did that, he was able to be renewed. He was able to renew, and the Bible says, they will run and not be wounded. They will walk and not faith, they will be renewed like the strength of the eagle. Why? Because they trust in the Lord. So then the relationship of God is essential to renewing the spirit of your mind. The spirit of your mind can't be renewed if you're not acquainted in righteousness and holiness. Getting into the way in which God intends for you to live and to walk with full assurance that you're on his side. And holiness, I always say, righteousness is understand by learning. Holiness is understand by worship. You will learn holiness when you worship God because he is holy. So there's no greater teacher than God himself. But the way you learn of God is by being in the presence of God. That's how you develop true holiness. True holiness is not taking off certain things to create an image or personification of some ideology or something that's quote unquote pure. But it's accessing God's presence based on you being in his presence and doing what he does and saying what he says. And the more you become comfortable with being in God's presence is the more you begin to exemplify what the scripture says in Ephesians, true holiness. The spirit is the renewing factor that sustains purity to attain access to God. The pursuit should provoke you to inward worship based on the enlightened awareness of who Jesus is. The spirit of God will bear witness of Christ in you, who we have access to approach God in full assurance, which gives us the renewal in the spirit. Amen. The second thing that the Lord gave me today, and it wasn't the day that he gave me, but he gave me these elements of scripture. Well, the second thing was to consider him that endured such contradiction. Consider him that endured such contradiction. Follow me in your sacred book to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 3. Consider him of such contradiction. The word contradiction is a word that is really a philosophical word. It's a word that provokes contradiction. Is something that it was intended to happen, but was distorted at some point. And God is asking us to consider such contradiction. Now we're gonna get into that and give a healthy context of that scripture because I don't want to have you ignorant, like Paul said in 12 of concerning scripture. This, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning these preliminary devices to develop into access to God. Now, we're talking about ascertaining the wisdom from God as to how to minister to the people's mind. But if you don't go into a secret place of the Most High and abide in the shadow of the Almighty, you won't understand this refuge. You won't understand these things that God has. So that way you can experience the life that's been so communicated by the psalmist who wrote the psalms, and those who were patriarchs of the faith, those who were contributors to the gospel, those who were exemplified to the establishment of the pre-existent church, those who are exemplifying the greatness of God and the demonstration of the power of the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. You will experience all of that when you allow God's word to be priority in your life. But you have to first consider him who endured such great contradiction. So a lot of the reasons why people don't ascertain this wisdom, and I understand this because you listen to a lot of people, and people are dealing, first of all, with a mental battle. There are a lot of mental battles and strongholds that we're supposed to be able to pull down spiritually. You get what I'm saying? But because we have not really studied and got into God's presence as to how to properly go about this, we have really stifled the usage of God with us, not with himself, because you can't stifle God. God's will be done. There's no question of that. But you've stifled your ability to be used by God because you haven't properly investigated God's word as to how to minister to the mind. And when you go on behalf of people and you're ministering to people and you're ministering about scriptures, you're not ministering to people's emotions. You're ministering to their minds. And a lot of people can't attain people's minds because they're playing mind games. And when you start playing games, then you don't get into the avenue in which God can speak. Now, the reason why you captivate the mind is so you can get into the spirit, or you can allow the spirit to have its way. Because we're all ministering to people's mindsets. We're not dealing with people's spirits. Spirits too precious, and God only entrusts Jesus, who is the bishop of our souls. He's the overseer of our souls. Really, so he only entrusts us with so much to just get communication in there to shed light on things. We're just there to shed light. That's why the scripture says in Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they might see your what? Your good works, that they might glorify your Father which is in heaven. He's using you as an instrument to shed light on things. But he can't do that if you're not in position to really be used of God in that manner. So Hebrews, the 12th chapter, says, wherefore we also seeing our compassed about a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of God's throne. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. He didn't even do nothing. Lest ye be weary and faint in your own mind. The scripture is telling us here to consider Jesus. So to get into the divine access to obtaining wisdom from God about how to minister to souls will come when we consider the contradictions in which Jesus faced. And one of the things that I'm finding out today about ministers, we're looking at prophet Elijah, we're looking at Samuel, we're looking at Samson, Gideon, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Mary, all these other people, and we're not focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and as a result, our faith is in question, and the contradictions that we face in life, we can't do it because we don't even know the author. We don't know the author and the finisher of our faith because for that joy that was set before him, that joy to see us in our rightful place, that joy to see us in position with a sound soul, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. That same joy that he died on the cross sustains us despite contradiction. And what's happening today is we're having a battle of contradiction, where preachers are getting up there, although they are noteworthy, they're getting married, but they're being divorced in public, and then churches are applauding them while they're divorcing in front of their congregation. We have people contradicting, sleeping with 15-year-old children, and then going up and talking about, I'm just a man like you, can you forgive me? Something's wrong with that mindset. We have people contradicting, supporting people who have been beaten and molested without making sure that they've been whole by the word of God and renewed in the spirit of their mind, and inviting them on pulpits to be preaching to other people, although themselves are cast away. We have a wrong mindset. And as a result, the church of God, which is in Christ Jesus, is being reduced to ignorance. And the contradictions are becoming convictions. And Jesus said, consider him. He wants us to put away all of the other stuff and consider him. Consider him that endures such contradiction. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. The third thing, because I got 20 minutes for this question, I got to get through this. I got two more things that I'm trying to keep myself calm, but I've been thinking about this because we want so much for God to use. We say we did. We communicate we did. But when we really get into his wisdom, wisdom is not only ascertaining his knowledge, his know-how, but knowing how to appropriate that know-how. So wisdom will teach you how to say what you got to say at the time you got to say it, in the manner in which you should say it, so that way when you say it, it'll affect the lives of the people you're saying it to. And God wants skillful people leading his congregation. He doesn't want people who have developed vanity in their mind. A fool has said in their heart that there is no God. And that means that they've gotten to the place where they've developed their own divine makeup. And that's because they haven't been renewed in the spirit. And one of the things that people used to say, see, when you're renewed in the spirit, your prayer life is developed. Everything that is spiritual enhances over time. But most people have not experienced that because they're religious. The traditions of men make the word of God of no effect. They're more concerned about what color your collar is. They're more concerned about things that have nothing to do with the development and the makeup of Christianity. You know, I look good so I can tell somebody their future and get a certain amount of money. That's not gospel. That's not the intention of God. He's saying there's coming a time where tongues will cease. Prophecies will cease. And they all will know. But why? Because they're living God by the Holy Spirit. He said people have itching ears today. Well, you know why that is? Because they're not looking at the one who endured. Who endured. Endured means he went all the way from the beginning, went through it, came out of it a victor. He endured it. He went through it so that way we could ascertain the understanding necessary to achieve our faith. That's why we look unto Jesus. It brings validity to the vocation in which we profess. And when you start getting real with God, then God can use you like that. So the third thing says, give God copywritten approval. Give God copywritten approval. So not only consider Jesus, you know, because you can consider that's just a state of mind, but you got to give him copywritten approval. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 14 through 18 is where I get this one. It says, for by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified. I want y'all to hear this clearly. He perfected, he matures them one time by that one offering himself. He perfected all those who are sanctified. Perfected. He matures the sanctified. So when there's immaturity of people who we think are sanctified, then it's quite simple. They don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's quite simple. The scripture speaks more. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. One of those days. Those days when the spirit dispensation will be realized after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said the Lord, this is the Lord, I will put my laws into their what? Their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. So Jesus has done it. But how is this going to be accomplished? You got to allow God to write things on your heart. But if you don't have access to you and you haven't considered the manner in which nobody can come to the Father but it's through by Jesus Christ. He can't write his way, his order in your life. Amen. We're talking about preliminary practices for attaining entrance into the wisdom of divine psychology. Why would you get into bondage? Why would you want to get into the things of God without invoking his project. That's disrespectful. And don't think you're going to get in there like a sorcerer, because the Bible says the thief comes in, the sheep pen, by other ways besides the gate. It doesn't break the law to get into the access to God, because that's going to be cut off. And the only reason why that's tolerated is because the people still remain to be sheep. But there's coming a day where people are going to use their money. They're going to use the God-given thing. And remember, we said in the other lessons that God breathed on them and they became a living soul. God breathed in us. And the same thing when we receive the Holy Ghost, the renewal of the Spirit introduces us to the quality of our mindset. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So the Spirit then introduces you to your mind. That introduces you as you get into the presence of God. So when you allow God to have copywritten approval, he can have access to operate order in your life. He can get things straight. Hallelujah. Now let me give you one more, and then we'll reconvene. Now this one, I might have to put part two on another one because I know it's going to take me the rest of the time to really get the impact of this. The fourth one is strive for faith, for the faith of the gospel. Strive for the faith of the gospel. I want y'all to think about that. And go with me to Philippians 1:27. Philippians 1:27. Strive for the faith of the gospel. Strive for the faith of the gospel. Preachers, strive for the faith of the gospel. Not your faith. The faith of the gospel. The faith of the gospel. Now, in order to appreciate the faith of the gospel, you're talking about Old Testament, because the gospel is really Old Testament. It's Jesus walking on the earth to bring forth the New Testament. Develop that type of faith. Strive for that type of faith. That's what the scripture is telling us. This is what I'm talking about, ascertaining wisdom into divine how God works the mind. He said, hey, when you want to get into the things of the Spirit, you're going to have to first, what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to be renewed in the Spirit. You're going to have to keep a renewal. That renewal is through repentance, righteousness, right, and holiness. So that gets you into the atmosphere of God. Then you're going to have to, after you do that, you're going to have to consider him that endures such contradiction. And then you're going to also have to give God copy written approval. You get what I'm saying? These are just getting yourself ready. But this one says strive for the faith of the gospel. Now, this is how you strive for the faith of the gospel. Let me read this, and I'm going to continue this in the next one. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Now, I missed it right there. I know, but just keep studying. It says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come or see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Well, how do you do that? We'll find out on the next one.
Hello again, you SWAT listeners. This is Helena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaigns and host of Spirit Straight Talk Radio, standing in for Dr. Breland, host of You SWAT Radio. That was an outstanding message speaking about the divine psychology and how our mind should be as preachers of the gospel, and how we should consider the one who endured such contradictions. Awesome message. Feel free to contact us, 641-715-3900, extension 626-1083, to get the series Divine Psychology. They will be available for order very soon. So contact us, 641-715-3900, extension 661083, to find out the pricing and what we need you to provide us as far as contact information and payment information in order to receive that series. Those of you in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area, Northern Virginia specifically, we have Rhema groups the last two Wednesdays of every month at the South County Center of Fairfax County. It's in Alexandria on Route 1 at 8350 Richmond Highway, which is also considered Route 1, on the second floor. Come and join us on the last two Wednesdays of every month. Now, this July, this coming month, we do not have any sessions for Rhema Group, but we will resume in August, and we have some great things in store. We have a Believers Foundation Institute that will be launching, and we are excited about those things, as well as continuing in Dominion Academy, as well as Ambassador Academy for ministers, Dominion Academy, of course, for every believer, particularly to ensure a sure foundation in the Word of God and in this walk as a believer. God is great, and this organization is emerging into a global reach. And if you are one who wants to contribute more to the kingdom of God and you love God and you have access to a phone and to the internet, feel free, and we invite you to join our team. And you can call us also at that 641-715-3900 extension 6261083 number, or you can contact us online. Go to our website, www.urbanglorycampaigns.webs.com, or you can always Google Urban Glory Campaigns or even LaVaughn Breland, which is LaVaughn Breland. We thank you for listening. You to our listeners, we appreciate you all. We love to hear from you. You can always call us, or you can email us, urbanglorycampaigns@gmail.com, and let us know how this broadcast is blessing you, or any suggestions, prayer requests, anything that you want to communicate to us that is for edification, either on our portal or on yours. We are ever ready to hear your comments, your compliments, and your questions. Always feel free to send us that correspondence. Also, remember, Question and Answer Sunday is coming up. It's every month, and it's coming up, and you can email us at uswatradio@gmail.com. That's uswatradio@gmail.com. Email us your questions. He is only accepting questions that are ministry-related and word-directed only. Any questions that would be considered straight talk questions that are life issues, particularly sexuality, those are to be geared to our Spirit Straight Talk Radio broadcast, and we will be updating you on how we're going to handle those question and answer sessions and broadcasts. So email us your questions, and we will give you answers on this broadcast. If we're not able to answer because of a particular standard for this broadcast, we will give you that information and we will direct you to what to do concerning Spirit Straight Talk Radio. Again, my name is Selena Olivia. I'm president of Urban Glory Campaigns, host of Spirit Straight Talk Radio, standing in for Dr. Breland, host of USWAT Radio. Thank you again for listening, USWAT listeners, where we rightly divide the word of truth. You be blessed, and as our founder says, always, it's glory from here. You have a great night, and we will begin here in Cyber World online and by phone at, of course, 646-595-4877, again on Sunday. Good night.